Today, I'm going to continue to talk about the importance of your words, and specifically, today we're going to talk about where you address your speech to. It's not always talking to God. The Bible says, talk to your problem. This will help you, so stay tuned for the Gospel Truth.
Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Today, I'm well into our sixth week of teaching on God Wants You Well, and this coming Friday is going to be my last day to teach on this subject. I tell you, there's still a lot that I could be sharing. We aren't exhausting the subject of healing by any means, but we've got other things coming up that I want to teach on, and so this coming Friday is going to be our last day. If you've had any desire at all to get these materials, I encourage you to please go to the effort today to request these materials so that you don't forget it. Even if you haven't had a desire for it, I would like to plant that desire in your heart, because hearing these programs, if you've listened every day, these programs won't be as beneficial to you as getting these materials so that you can go over and over and over it again. Matter of fact, if you were to get sick, what a great way to get well is to take the Word of God and just start playing these videos, DVDs, listening to the audio CDs or whatever. The Word of God will produce health in your flesh. And so I'd really like to encourage you to get these materials. And also, I know that every one of you have people that you love who battle sickness, and this would be a way of taking these truths and sharing with them. So remember, this coming Friday is going to be the end of my teaching on this. Please go to the effort of calling and requesting these materials. Now, I've been establishing that faith operates by law, and I've talked about that for a long time. I hadn't got time to go back through it. Then we took the example in Mark chapter 5 of the woman who touched the hem of Jesus' garment, and the power of God just automatically flowed and she was healed. I began to show some of the laws that govern faith or healing in that story. We talked about faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. We talked about faith without works is dead, James chapter 2, verse 20. And then we began to talk about the power of words, that faith is voice activated. And I used Proverbs 18, 20 and 21, and we studied those scriptures. Then I went over to Mark chapter 11, verse 23, and took some of the truths in what Jesus was saying here about how important the words that you speak are in receiving the miraculous power of God. Let me just back up for a moment and take this entire example, this entire instance that's recorded in Mark chapter 11, and let's look at what Jesus did right here. Mark chapter 11, verse 12, it says, "And on the morrow when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it." Now, you know, I could take a real sideline here. I just want to mention this quickly because this isn't essential to the point. But people have said, why did Jesus get upset with this fig tree and curse it? Because it wasn't time for figs yet. Well, it wasn't time for leaves yet either. The Lord is the one that created fig trees. Jesus, the same one that was walking the earth, it says all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. This fig tree was made by Jesus, and Jesus established a law that fig trees produce figs before they produce the leaves. And so in a sense, this fig tree was a pervert. It was operating contrary to what God intended it to be. Now, some people might think, well, I'm making a bigger issue out of this than I should. But Jesus is the one who set down how the trees should operate. And this tree was operating contrary to what God created it to do. So even though it wasn't time for figs, it wasn't time for leaves yet. This fig tree was a hypocrite. It was professing something that it didn't have. And as creator, Jesus had every right to come and say, you are a pervert, you are a hypocrite, you are outside of the laws of nature that I created. And he had every right to just curse that fig tree. So it says in verse 14 that he answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. So this was on the way from Bethany into Jerusalem. They went into Jerusalem. He cast out the people who were buying and selling animals in the temple. And he came back that evening and went to Bethany. Then the next morning, it says in verse 20, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. So this is about a 24-hour period of time. When they came back in the evening, approximately 12 hours later, we suspect that they walked by the exact same fig tree, but the disciples didn't say anything then, which means that there wasn't anything visible to the eyes, no visible difference in that tree. But the next morning when they walked by, 24 hours later, that fig tree was dead, and it said it was dried up from the roots. Now see, some people, if you would have been standing there right beside Jesus, if we would have had our media today following Jesus around, and if he would have said to this fig tree, you're dead, nobody eat fruit of you hereafter forever. Well, immediately they would have had a scientist come and maybe break off one of those leaves and examine it and say, nope, it's still healthy. It's still got life in it. There's still, you know, the sap or whatever it is in a fig tree flowing through its roots. Jesus did nothing. Jesus' words produced nothing. See, that's the way that our carnal mind would look at things and evaluate things on only a humanistic surface level. But the truth is, the moment Jesus spoke to that fig tree, it was dead, but it died in its roots. And just like when you cut a stem off of a rose bush, you can put that thing in water and it may look perfectly healthy for a week or whatever, but it's dead the moment you separate it from the rest of that rose bush. That fig tree was dead the instant Jesus spoke to it. It just took a period of time for what he had said to work its way all the way through that plant. Boy, there's a great truth in that. I wish I hadn't got time to expound on that, but when you speak to things, specifically we've been dealing with sickness, when you speak against sickness and command it to die, you need to recognize that the moment you spoke, if you believe, that power was released, but it may take a period of time before it becomes visible or before you can feel it in your physical body. Boy, there's a great truth here. But it says in verse 21, and Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. You know, when most people read the Bible, they don't read it like it's real. They don't read it and try and put themselves there and imagine these things to be real. They just, I don't know, somehow or another they read it like they do a storybook or something. But put yourself into this situation. Say you and I were just walking along the street somewhere and I saw this tree and I walked up to it. It wasn't what I expected. And so let's say it was a huge oak tree and I said, you're dead. And I just said that and then walked on. Then the next day we were walking along and here's this same fig tree, the same oak tree, 24 hours later, and the thing is just literally dead. All of the leaves have fallen off of it and the thing is just ready to fall over. I guarantee you, if that happened and if I never touched it, if I never did anything physical, didn't throw any salt on it, do anything in the natural to it, if I just spoke these words and 24 hours later this huge tree was dead, I guarantee you that would be impressive. Well, that's exactly what happened. And when Peter saw it, I don't believe he just said this nonchalantly. I believe he was saying, Master, look at what your words accomplished. Look what you said. This fig tree is dead. And here's Jesus' response in verse 22. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Now again, we don't have the inflection of his voice here. I don't believe he just was saying, have faith in God, Peter. I believe it was more like, yeah, have faith in God. Like, what did you expect? Well, from a human standpoint that doesn't expect very much and lives in unbelief, most of us are overwhelmed when we see any type of supernatural manifestation of anything. But Jesus lived in the supernatural, and to him, it was just normal. And basically, I believe what he was doing was rebuking, upbraiding Peter, saying, Peter, this is just the way that faith works. This is the potential that you have with faith. And so he says, have faith in God. Guys, believe. This is what believing God would produce. Again, in a sense, draw a reference point. Most of us do not go to God's Word and what God intends for our life and put our anchor there and say, this is normal. This is natural. This is what I'm believing for. Most of us look in this natural world. And even if you're a quote-unquote super saint, most people will look in the church world and they will take kind of an average and they will put that they'll put a nail or something right there and use that for their center point of what they consider natural to be. And anything that deviates very much from that, they think that you're strange or weird. Jesus was living so far beyond where these disciples were that he says, guys, this is just natural. What did you expect? I talked to this tree. Didn't you expect what I said to come to pass? Well, the truth is, no. They were shocked when they saw it came to pass. He wasn't shocked at all. And then he begins to tell them in verse 23 how they get their faith to work. Or you could say it this way. He's telling them how he was able to speak to this fig tree without touching it, without doing anything in the natural, and yet see this complete miraculous manifestation. How do things like this work? Look at what he said. He says, for verily I say unto you, the word verily, verily means truly. In other words, he had to put some kind of emphasis on this because what he was about to say was so out of the norm for most people that he had to assure them that what I'm telling you is true. This is verily, truly, truly, this is right. Verily I say unto you that whosoever, that means this works for any of us, this power in our words, the power of death and life being in the tongue, isn't just for the super saint. It doesn't just work for a few people. It works for everybody. It'll either work for you or against you. But every one of you watching this program, whether you know it or not, have power in your words. Whether you believe it or not, you have power in your words. If you don't believe it, well, then it'll only work in a negative way. Death will work, but life won't. But if you'll go to believing this and start choosing your words, then you can start releasing the power of life that's in your words. So he says that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, I talked about this quite a bit on our program yesterday. I won't go back through all of those things, but it's important to realize most people, the vast, vast majority of people today, are saying what they have instead of having what they say. Most people just speak out what they feel, what situations say to them, and they are not using these principles here. Jesus three times talked about how important words were. That whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. There are three times in this verse that Jesus emphasized the words that you speak. Faith is voice activated. If you are going to really see the miraculous power of God operate through you, Jesus is telling you how he cursed this fig tree and how this miracle happened. It was because of the power of words. And notice it says you have to believe that those things which you say come to pass. Most people don't believe their words are that powerful. If you don't believe it, then you are deluding and countering the power that's in words. You've got to, first of all, recognize the power that's in words. You've got to start realizing that you have this power. If you don't believe it, then this power of the tongue will only work against you and not for you. It'll still work, but it'll always work against you. If you don't believe that you have power to say these words, then what you're going to do is just allow yourself to start saying whatever you feel, to releasing your unbelief, and those things will come to pass. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's not only hearing God's Word, but whatever you hear, you just immediately begin to start believing, and your whole life begins to start going in that direction. If all you do is hear yourself gripe and complain over a period of time, you'll go to believing that you're cursed. you'll go to believing that nothing ever works for you. And it'll start a negative spiral downward for you. You know, I don't know if you're really tracking with what I'm saying, but I'm explaining to many of you why your life is in the mess that it's in. Your life is completely contrary to what Jesus said. And that's the reason that this miracle of just speaking something and seeing the miraculous power of God manifest, that's why that's foreign to most of you, is because you don't believe this. You are going to have to start believing. The Bible says out of Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. There's two things involved here. You have to say it with your mouth and believe it in your heart. You've got to combine those two things. See, if you don't understand this, this is why most of you don't even relate to what I'm going to say right here. But about 20, 25 years ago in the body of Christ, there was a big emphasis on this point about the words that you speak and how powerful they are. And it was taken to such an extreme that people taught that if you said things like, "Oh, that tickled me to death," there was people that would jump up and put their hand over your mouth. "Don't say that, you'll die." And they would start saying silly things like that, that people recognized were absurd, and because of it, they just basically threw the baby out with the bathwater. They rejected the entire teaching on the power of words because of some of the extremes that people took it to. You know why if you say, "Oh, that tickles me to death," that you aren't going to fall over dead? It's because you didn't believe that in your heart. You said something with your mouth that was probably incorrect, but you didn't believe it with your heart. You have to believe it with your heart. And does that mean that it's okay for you to just say these foolish things? No, because if you say the wrong thing over and over and over, if you say it often enough, eventually you can corrupt yourself with the words that you speak. So I would encourage you not to talk death. I wouldn't encourage you to sit there and say, "Oh, I'm going to be dead by the time I'm 40, even though you don't believe it. Don't go around saying things like that. But it isn't going to just automatically happen that if a person says, "Oh, that tickled me to death," you're going to fall over dead because you didn't believe it. But when you get to where you can say with your mouth and believe in your heart, when you can combine that, which in Mark chapter 11, verse 23, Jesus did combine those things. He says, "If you will say unto this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and not doubt in your heart." In other words, speak it and believe from the heart, you will have whatsoever you say. Boy, that is a powerful law of faith. And I'm running short on time today, but let me make this other point. I think this is a major point. Not only do you need to speak forth your faith, which is vital, and believe in your heart, but it's important who you're speaking to. This didn't say that whosoever shall say to God, "I want you to curse this fig tree and cast it into the sea," or "this mountain and cast it into the sea." It said that you have to say unto this mountain. Don't talk to God about your situation. See, a lot of Christians, even if you've understood the power of words, a lot of people are saying things like, "I confess with my mouth that I am healed." Well, that's a good thing to say. They say, "I claim my healing." That's a good thing to say. But that's not what Jesus told us to do here. He didn't say just use words and say positive things, but He said specifically, "Whosoever shall say unto this mountain." Not talking to God about the mountain and asking God to remove it, but God told you to speak to this mountain. There's a lot of things involved in this that I haven't got time to explain today. But one of the things here is authority. For you to speak directly to the problem means that you are taking your authority. You believe God has already done His part. He put that power on the inside of you and gave you the authority to use that power. Now, going back to the area of sickness, this is where a lot of people are missing it. They are saying, "God, I'm asking You to heal me. I confess that I'm healed. I claim my healing." And they say these good things, but they don't speak directly to the problem. You know, in this instance that he's using, he's saying, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, it could have been anything. He's just saying, whatever your problem is, whatever this obstacle is in your life, talk to it. If cancer is your problem, talk to it. Say, cancer, in the name of Jesus, I curse you. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. I use the power of this tongue to curse you. I command you, cancer, to die in Jesus' name. Now I release life into you, body, in the name of Jesus. I command the parts of this body that have been damaged by cancer to be healed. See, that's what this is talking about. You talk to the problem. Don't talk to God about your problem, but talk directly to it. So as we're talking about the power that's in your words, it's not only power directed towards God, but then use the power of these words to speak against whatever it is that is standing in your way. If it's a devil, talk directly to the devil. You resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James chapter 4, verse 7. If it is some kind of intangible thing, if it is a sickness or a disease, or if it's a late bill or something, talk to it. I know some of you think this is crazy. Some of you are sitting there thinking, so you go around talking to things. Absolutely. Jesus did. Look at this. Verse 14, it says, Jesus answered and said unto it, talking about the fig tree, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. Jesus not only talked to this fig tree, but it says he answered the fig tree and said, this fig tree had been talking to him. Did you know things will tell you things? You'll have a bank statement sometimes that you'll look at that and it's just got red all over it, and it'll communicate to you that the Word of God didn't work. You prayed for prosperity and you're worse instead of better. If any of those thoughts, if something is speaking to you, then you talk back to it. Anything that talks to you, you talk to it. I know some of you think I'm weird, but you know what? I think you're weird. If you exalt and embrace the norm today more than you embrace what God's Word has to say. I'm sharing with you straight from Scripture what the Bible has to say. And just because this is different than what so many of you have believed and been taught, then you're hesitant to accept it. You know, most people don't let the Word of God get in the way of what they believe. I pray that you're one of those that's going to let the Word of God influence you. I've read Scripture to you. We talked about an instance where Jesus talked to a tree and it obeyed him without him doing anything but just saying words. It was because he believed in the power of his words. He believed that when he said something, it would come to pass. And because of that, he had what he said. If you'd like to start getting that results, I encourage you to start following that example, to believe what Jesus said and do it. You know, I'm going to continue this on our program tomorrow. I'd encourage you to listen then. And also, we're drawing to a close on this teaching about God wants you well. Please listen as our announcer gives you some information about this, and then call or write and receive these materials today.
Andrew's teaching titled, God Wants You Well, has impacted thousands of people, producing miracles of healing around the world. We've collected 5 miracle stories in 1 DVD that will inspire you and supercharge your faith. You'll witness the powerful recovery of Nikki Oshinsky after a 5-year illness, plus a brand new interview filmed 7 years later. You'll be inspired by the Petersons' year-long journey to see their son Jason receive a dramatic healing, and Shirley Vaughn's fight for total health against a lifelong digestive disorder. Rejoice at Leslie and Mary Decker's healings from asthma and the Terades family's journey to seeing their daughter Hannah snatched from the jaws of death. The DVD is titled Healing Journeys Volume 1, and it's available for a gift of any amount when you request item number T3005D. The teaching that lies behind each of these miracles is Andrew's 4-part album titled God Wants You Well. It's available for a gift of any amount. Ask for album T1036 and be sure to specify whether you'd like a CD album or a DVD album made from our television programs. The 4th teaching in the series is also available for a donation. But if you're unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fourth CD free of charge. Request teaching TI-4, titled The Laws of Faith, when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. You can reach us through our website, where you can order ministry materials online. Plus, there's a wealth of free ministry material at www.awmi.net. Or you can use credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934.
I'd like to give you a special invitation to come and be with me on September the 13th through the 18th in Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm going to be at Freedom Christian Center with my good friend, Pastor Dean Melton. I tell you, this is one of my favorite places to go. These people, if you have never been to Charlotte, to this Freedom Christian Center camp meeting, you are missing an experience. Not only the teaching of the Word and the power of God and healings and all of the things that go with a normal meeting, I tell you, the people there are special. Coming to see Pastor Dean is an experience in itself. And if you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, you ought to come be with us. We actually hold our meetings under a brush arbor. It's going to be a great time, September the 13th through the 18th in Charlotte, North Carolina. Jamie and I would like to give all of the ministers watching our program a very special invitation to join us for our ministers conference. It's going to be held at our facility in Colorado Springs. And I tell you, it is just an awesome time of fellowship and ministry directly from the Lord.
I want to give a special invitation to the wives of the ministers. Whether you're evangelists, missionaries, whatever, we really want the wives to come and enjoy the blessings of the Lord with her husband.
It is not just an informational conference where we give you skills about how to do things. It's inspirational, where we minister to you. Praise and worship is special. I guarantee you it'll be a great time, so make plans to join us the first week of October right at our facility in Colorado Springs for our ministers conference.
And we'll see you there.
The healing journey of Hannah Terades begins with a terrible disease called eosinophilic enteropathy.
We were just despairing at that point, thinking we've come so far with such high hopes to miss it. You know, we really thought, have we come this far to nearly miss it? Are we going to go home empty-handed?
Be sure to join us tomorrow as we present the dramatic healing journey of Hannah Terades.